Cowboys, and fresh off the best booth in America. I saw your pregame chapter two. It looked gorgeous, Brad. It looked a beautiful picture.
What's your favorite football team in the National Football League?
Not anymore. I'm jumping, baby. I am the Washington Redskins, and I have blasted them throughout the day. God, yeah. They're so bad. Bad, Brad. They're bad. All right. Wow, this Cowboys offense, 9 touchdowns, 1 field goal, 2 weeks into it. I know people can poke holes in anything, but your thoughts about what you see now through the first 2 weeks?
My thoughts about what I see are that I like it, but I think you're so right. Cowboy fans especially, but not exclusively, seem only happy when they are finding out what's wrong with something. And nobody is perfect. Nobody plays a perfect game. Nobody has a perfect season. Nobody's perfect. And there will be days when they're going to have the defense carry them, and things don't go so well. They don't score 30 points. But they're good, and they're fun, and can we just relax and enjoy that? Because I don't believe they've even shuffled the deck, let alone gotten halfway through it yet on what they can do and various things. Now they're going to be without Gallup for a few weeks, and so that's something. Injuries always play a big part in this stuff. But, they discovered Devin Smith throughout the preseason and showed up yesterday. So they're fun to watch, and that's exactly what I expected. And they have been better than the first two teams they've played. They're probably better than the next team they're going to play. But they're going to have to prove it every week. They're going to have to prove it every single week.
Brad, a few years ago, Will McClay, Stephen Jones, Jason Garrett, they made a difference, a shift in the way that they approach their personnel. And whenever an organization does that, it takes a little time to see it really all come together if they stick to that plan. And they clearly have. Is this team maybe finally that manifestation of what they've been doing for the last few years, kind of all coming together with, really not a whole lot of, spots on the field where you're like, oh, man, I hope that doesn't get exposed.
Yeah, I think that's fair, Paul. I do. And there are still things. No team is perfect. So there are still areas that you're stronger than others and some that you're weaker than others. But, I don't think that they are playing with any area of the team that's not representative. And I think that they're better in most parts of the team than they even were a year ago. I think they've gotten better at it every year. Their offensive line has been good for a few years. They've spent resources on that. They've also spent some resources on defense. And that is beginning to show itself. And when you break them down by unit, obviously their wide receivers are probably better than they've been in a long time. And I would say their offensive line is still solid, and the linebackers are better than they've been in some time. I think they've got more depth in both in the secondary and the defensive line than they had a year ago. So I think that's a fair observation.
Brad, it's a team with playmakers everywhere. And Zeke gets 100 yards, scores in each game. Jason Witten scores in each game. It just seemed like even like there was I don't know if you would call it a jet sweep, whatever they ran at some point, that just kind of gave the offense a different look. In the past, am I right or wrong on this, that if that game the way it started had continued and it wasn't with some of the changes they've made, when I come, not just Kellen Moore, but that they might have like gotten lured into that kind of a game, like a 16-14 game. It seemed like to me, rather than getting kind of skittish, they just said, what the hell? This is who we are. Let's go do what we do. Is that fair?
Yeah, I think it's accurate, and I'm not sure that I think they've changed the essence of their offensive identity a little bit. I do think that they would have tended to be a little more 16-14-ish in the past. But, I think that part of the nature of who they are, Smokey, is that the first two or three series – did not go the way they wanted, but they understand that they won't all. And you just be patient. Just practice, play what you practice, believe in what you do. And so this one didn't work. First series, they had a third down slant to Gallup that he didn't quite hold, and so they had to punt. And then they had the tipped interception on, you know, not a great throw. But you just keep plugging. Just keep playing the way you play and be who you are, and they believe in themselves, and they believe that, you know, sooner or later some good things are going to happen. And for the second game in a row, they wind up scoring on five consecutive possessions.
How concerning should it be that Antoine Woods will be out for a little while, with Tristan Hill probably having to come in and get in some of that rotation when he's been inactive the first 2 weeks?
Well, you always want your players playing, and nobody ever gets that opportunity for the whole year. That's just the nature of football in general and the NFL in particular. I did happen to talk to Rod Marinelli yesterday before the game specifically about Hill and asked Rod, how's he coming? And, you know, Marinelli is a big stickler for his standards, and you have to show him every day. And he said he's good. He's coming good. He's getting better and better. And he said, I think that he might be contributing next week. Now, that was before Woods got hurt. Now, Jason Garrett just told the walk-off of his press conference less than an hour ago that he had not ruled out Woods for this week. Now, that may be just Monday talk. I think they expect Woods to miss some time, but not a lot. But it's possible that I was also told yesterday that people who play his position can function with the injury that he has. So it really kind of depends on how the week goes. It's not out of the question that he would be able to play Sunday, but it also wouldn't be surprising if he didn't. And this would be a time, it might seem, to challenge Tristan Hill in practice this week and see if he's ready to step forward and play a role. He believes he is, and I think they are pointing in that direction.
You know, the Devin Smith story is a great story. I mentioned this earlier, that you win by making personnel decisions that pay off, and sometimes you just have to, like you said, you got to just keep go looking for ways to churn the roster. I remember Parcells used to say that. It's not like he invented the wheel. But this Devin Smith story, Brad, this is a second-round pick. Ohio State, he was fantastic. And then all of a sudden, Gallup's out, and here comes Devin Smith, who shows up on the day that Gallup goes out. And the things they've done that have given them this opportunity to not just Zeke or whatever, but golly, it's a Jalen Smith miracle. Travis Frederick comes back. Witten comes back. Here's Devin Smith. And it's pretty amazing, because you miss any of those. You miss on any of those. You're not quite the same.
No, you're 100% right, and it almost kind of sounds like something that needs a big Hollywood finish, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And deserves one. But as Babe reminds me all the time, deserves got nothing to do with it, from the Unforgiven. But I love the Devin Smith story. And sometimes maybe you get a little lucky. And as you said, you know, Garrett talked about him again today. They loved him at Ohio State. He was a big part of what Ohio State was doing on a national championship team. Then he was a second-round pick. Then he had two injuries to the ACL on his right knee. And he wanted to quit at times, but he didn't. And I have to track down exactly who it was who said, you know what, let's give him a shot right now. Because it's one of the really best feel-good stories that they've had in a few years. He's a really nice young man, and he really appreciates the opportunity that he has at a second chance. And he's going to get an opportunity to have a bigger role and make more plays. What a great story that is.
You know, the position that Denver had at running back, when it seemed like they got guys off the milk carton trucks and they, you know, Mike Anderson, and then there was others.
Yeah.
The Cowboys seem to have kind of that at wide receiver, don't they, where they find these, like, these gems at times?
Well, I don't know who else they found. Now, they have found some free agents. They found Miles Austin as a free agent. But I don't know how many. I mean, your Denver comparison is very apt, because they did that. And that's part of scouting and part of their system. But in the Cowboys' case, you know, Dez Bryant was a first-round choice. Miles Austin was a rookie free agent. They did a good job finding him out of the kind of the Drew Pearson mold. But, you know, Cooper was obviously a first-round choice. Mm-hmm. Gallup was a third-round choice. Cedric Wilson, although he was a lower draft choice, was a captain at Boise. And, you know, they found Cole Beasley, so good for them. He was in their backyard. And Randall Cobb was a fairly high pick by Green Bay, and a guy who'd been in the league. Tavon Austin obviously was the eighth pick in the draft, so I don't know if they had a lot of milk carton guys.
No, you might be right. I might have been thinking back to the guy, not Jimmy Smith, because he was a high pick as well. Who's the guy that played for Jacksonville?
Oh, Lauren Robinson.
Yeah, Lauren Robinson. I don't even know.
Oh, Lauren Robinson. He had 1 year. He caught 11 touchdowns, came out of nowhere. He'd been in San Diego, and the Chargers didn't want him. The Cowboys picked him up. He caught 11 touchdowns and went and got a big contract from Jacksonville. It was never heard from again.
Yeah, you mentioned Randall Cobb. You know, sometimes you look around the league and free agent signings are kind of, well, you sign a free agent, this guy's a free safety, he's the best free safety, let's sign this free safety. And then it just kind of is. He's there. Randall Cobb seems to me to be it's just such a perfect fit for what they needed. And given what, you know, he'd fought through some injuries in Green Bay, it couldn't have been a better situation. At least for the first two games, it looks like it was just a perfect fit. And I don't think that happens that often in free agency.
It doesn't. And Ben Swanson missed some. But he's one of my favorite guys that they have signed in quite a while. Just getting to know him a little bit. He is a stand-up person. He's a very interesting guy to talk to. He's got a great perspective. And, look, he understands that he's been with the Green Bay Packers. Now he's with the Dallas Cowboys. He was a quarterback at Kentucky. I happened to be at the Kentucky Derby this year and ran into a bunch of people in Louisville who could not stop. When they found out what I did for a living, they could not stop talking about Randall Cobb in Kentucky. They go, oh, wait till you meet him. He's the best. And you know what? They're right. He's a phenomenal guy. He's a tremendous competitor. And I think he is going to be a huge help to them as the season unfolds.
Brad, one more thing. I always ask you about sometimes the broadcast itself, but how much time do you have to enjoy the city of where you're broadcasting from in a road game? I know it's a noon game. You wouldn't be able to do much on game day anyway, but Washington with so many different things. You've been there a thousand times. Did you get to catch something that maybe you had not seen before?
Yeah, Christy Scales, our phenomenal sideline reporter, who is always up for an adventure, checks that we have been to the Kennedy Center before, and we love the venue, and so she found that the play, what the Constitution means to me, was playing at the Kennedy Center, and she got us tickets, and Bob Thomas, our statistician, and Christy and I went, and let me tell you what, it was amazing. It was a tremendous play, and so sometimes you go out for dinner. Sometimes, like in New York, we'll try to go to the theater on the first trip. Second trip will be a Monday night game. The later it gets in the year, the tireder I am, and the better the college football games are on Saturday night, I might tend to stay in a little more.
I can see that. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it, Brad Sham.
All right. Have a great week, guys.
Hall of Fame voice of the Cowboys, Brad Sham, with us on Mondays at 5:30. Thanks.